This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Cam.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first in the news article for this week, TMAP has joined Joby Aviation to partner in air taxi services in South Korea. Joby Aviation said in early May that TMAP, which is South Korea's largest mobility platform, are going to join their partnership to bring air taxi services to the area. TMAP also jointly owns ride-hailing app UT along with Uber, which a lot of us know the name of. So I think that in itself signifies just how big of a move this could be. They're going to integrate emissions-free aerial ride-sharing, hopefully someday, into their transportation services. And the data that they collect will inform the partner's design of optimal air taxi routes and infrastructure networks.
Very cool. Moving on to our second headline, EasyJet is partnering with GKN Aerospace on hydrogen power. EasyJet is a European low-fare carrier, and they have just announced that they will be working with GKN to support the adoption of hydrogen combustion, aligning with GKN's H2 jet program, and hydrogen fuel cells, aligning with GKN's H2 gear program. These programs aim to develop a liquid hydrogen propulsion system for sub-regional aircraft, and this is the first time I've heard of a low-fare carrier doing something like this, so I figured it was worth noting.
Indian Airlines SpiceJet is under investigation after severe turbulence injured some passengers on the flight. There are reports that the autopilot function on the B737-800 aircraft stopped working for 2 minutes mid-flight, resulting in the crew manually having to fly the plane until it recovered. As a result, the aircraft experienced dramatic turbulence, which caused some overhead bins to open and items to spill out, and the emergency oxygen masks to drop. 15 people were hospitalized after the airplane landed, and the plane itself has been grounded to be further examined.
Moving on to our last headline, Biden doubles down on SAF support, or sustainable aviation fuel support. On April 12, 2022, Joe Biden spoke at a biofuel processing facility in Iowa, saying, quote, "You simply can't get to net zero carbon by 2050 without biofuels." This aligns with the SAF Grand Challenge, which encourages the production of 3 billion plus gallons of SAF per year by 2030. The White House is also supporting this with an allocation of up to $4.3 billion to support SAF projects and fuel production. That wraps up our In the News segment for today, so now we'll transition into the bulk of our episode. The topic for today is cargo flights, and last week we talked about Airbus, and one thing that we didn't really know much about was their cargo flight sector. So we decided to delve into this a little bit more this week. So I'll kick us off with some history because this was new to me as well. One thing that I thought super interesting was how intertwined the development of freight aircraft was with political and historical events at the time. So aircraft were initially used for mail transport in 1911, and no aircraft were designed primarily as cargo carriers until the 1920s. In fact, the war era actually propelled the need and development of cargo aircraft, which makes sense. When there are wars, there is a need to transport things like troops and supplies and things like that to address conflicts. So in the early 1920s, the United Kingdom recognized just that. They needed to transport troops and materials to the Middle East. In 1921, Vickers Vernon became the first dedicated troop transport aircraft. In February 1923, this aircraft was used to fly 500 troops, which was the first ever strategic airlift of troops. In 1939, the Junkers U-90 becomes the earliest known aircraft that includes a rear-loading ramp. This four-engine airliner was developed by German airframer Lufthansa, which is two words and actually does not have any legal relationship to the current-day Lufthansa airline. This aircraft was originally developed in 1933 for long-distance commercial aircraft. And the company applied conversions to make this commercial version into a cargo version. So they replaced windows with portholes, they strengthened landing gear, and they added more powerful engines, just to name a few conversions. This development continued during the post-war era, where custom-built cargo aircraft and strategic cargo aircraft began to appear. In the Lockheed Martin C-130, the turboprop engine was introduced to cargo aircraft. This aircraft is actually still in production today as Lockheed Martin continues to improve and advance this aircraft. The Lockheed Martin C-5 is another aircraft developed by the same company. It's capable of carrying huge loads, including battle tanks, which I thought was insane. Additionally, the Boeing 747 was originally designed to the same specifications as the Lockheed Martin C-5, but was later modified to be offered for either passenger or freight purposes. In 2000, Airbus announced their A380 program, which also included a freight option, and this was the second largest payload of any cargo flight, or of any cargo aircraft. So based on all these advancements starting from the 1920s, I feel like a lot of aircraft and airframers have adapted and advanced their aircraft for their needs. So for example, during the war era, a lot of aircraft were built just for troop transport or supplies transport. But now moving on to the post-war era in present day, there's a lot of conversions and more flexible or strategic cargo aircraft where they can be used for both passenger flights and cargo flights. And I think that's super interesting. I feel like they're really maximizing the aircraft that they buy from these airframers so that the airliners can have a more versatile fleet. For example, in May of 2020, a Portuguese airline chartered cargo flights to carry medical supplies from China to different parts of the world in response to COVID-19. So when passenger traffic kind of died down, they were still able to utilize these amazing, in my opinion, machines to transport crucial supplies across the globe.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool use case to see not only like these airliners taking that opportunity, but also doing it in a way that helped what was like going on in the world at the time. It was like a topical cause to also support, which was pretty cool. We also saw during this time that cargo carriers and logistics companies were turning to air freighters when in the past they might not have used them or maybe didn't use them so much. And it worked out for all parties because aircraft owners were also eager to add them to their fleets because they saw that freight growth was encouraging and on the up at the time. And especially during a time when people weren't really wanting to fly, it was a great opportunity to take goods, in the air. For years, dedicated freighters had lost ground to passenger aircraft carrying goods because of, money and logistics and all that stuff. But it was really interesting to see the sort of turning point with COVID and the less people wanting to fly where this really took off. interest in conversions during this time was actually so strong that slots to retrofit these aircraft are actually booked through 2025, year 2025.
That's crazy.
Which is really crazy that the interest was so high just then. So like that just that one spike is that that's what it did to the market is pretty wild.
Yeah, it was essentially enough to sustain these airliners for 5 years. Yeah, I feel like this recent happening, well, relatively recent happening, is something, it reflects a trend in the industry, which I always thought was really interesting. Because I feel like the aerospace and aviation industry is so closely tied to current events. So mm-hmm. I think in the Challenger documentary that we talked about, where it was like people in America were looking for something to feel good about. So they turned right. to the space race. And like, that's why there was so much renowned fervor for space flight at the time. And you can see a similar trend with cargo flights too. Like all of a sudden, because of a global pandemic, there's, you know, more interest in these conversions right. into cargo payload, because that's just what's needed at the time. And what I love about like technology in this industry and things like that is that it's applicable to so many different things. Like, for example, there's a lot of inventions that happened for space or in space that trickle into our daily lives right now. And the same holds true for the regular aviation industry as well. I don't know, in the 1920s and through the 1940s, I doubt that the people who decided to put a ramp on the back of a cargo plane ever thought that a ramp would be useful in 2022 for delivering Amazon packages across the globe or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Like these technologies are like really like ahead of their time, I feel like. And at the same time, new technologies are still being developed today. And I don't know. I just think that's really interesting.
I know it's interesting that you said that. I was just thinking about how, you know, many episodes back we talked about like Amazon and their like increase in this sect. And I think it'll also be really interesting to watch as like drone technology yeah. develops and stuff, like how that will encourage maybe more of these cargo flights. You know what I mean? Like as the ability to get goods to people in different ways increases, like what that will do to the industry will be very interesting to watch.
Yeah. And this industry is continuously evolving too, right? Like based on like the customer's needs and the state of the world and everything. Right. And like as, you know, technology advances in general inside and outside the aerospace industry, people are craving more connections and exposure to more right. things around the world, and how can they get it faster, and how can they like get exposed to more things faster and things like that. So drones will definitely play a part in that. These huge cargo flights will definitely play a part in that. And I don't know what else will just pop up one day, like a new invention that could potentially change the direction of the industry.
It's pretty cool to also think about like what this does for like jobs, right? Like you think about, mm-hmm. You know, the opportunities in aviation. It's not just about flying people. It's about, you know, flying cargo and loading the cargo and unloading the cargo and like all that good stuff too. So that's also another fun little like facet of it.
Yeah. And I'm sure like as things like this progress, there'll be specific like engineering and design considerations too.
Yeah.
I think I read, I don't remember which aircraft it was for, but there was like a special bump incorporated in the structure of the aircraft so that if there was an accident, the packages would like slide underneath the crew and it wouldn't like damage the crew quarters right. or anything like that. And that's like a small detail. But you know, as you start to carry larger things, maybe as large as tanks, I don't know, like mm-hmm. you're going to have to take smaller details into consideration.
Oh yeah, no, I read somewhere that some are large enough to carry like other airplanes, you know, like so yeah, that definitely is important to consider. Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought of that. That is pretty crazy.
Although I think one of the greatest design feats of cargo aircraft is the Airbus Beluga XL because they made
Yeah.
it look like a whale.
I know, the best, like truly the best design.
But I mean, like all jokes aside, that's like a super impressive and
Yeah,
insane
extremely. Yeah.
aircraft.
Now moving into our featured photo segment, and a reminder that you can see the photos that we're talking about on our Instagram story highlights at abovethewing.podcast. Kim, do you want to show us your photo?
Yes, so I found this picture of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In this photo, he's announcing a $440 million promise for the aerospace industry to create jobs in Quebec and fund green tech. And this photo initially caught my eye because there's a helicopter in the background and it's like so flamboyantly Canadian. I kind of love it. Like it's done very tastefully. It looks Canadian, but it still looks very cool. And then when I actually clicked on the article, it sparked my interest even more. I just enjoy hearing about companies and governments investing in the aerospace industry to make it more sustainable for the future. So I just
Yeah,
thought this
it is
was
too.
something cool to share.
Yeah, definitely. That is awesome to hear. My photo is of a Northrop Grumman French E-2C Hawkeye airplane, and I thought that there were a lot of cool things about this photo. The upper part of the airplane has some interesting features on it. There's like an anchor like iconography image on top of it, which I thought was interesting. I wonder like what that is about. Like maybe it's whoever owns this airplane or the company or something. But I thought it was pretty neat to see an airplane of this style. I feel like you don't often see this, so I thought it was a cool one.
Yeah, and it's just a cool photo too. I really like how it's taken like top down so you could see how far it is from the ground. You can kind of see the cloud cover a little bit. Looks very cool.
Yeah, it's in Belgium, this photo.
Ooh, very cool. All right, well, that wraps it up for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you can check us out on Instagram at abovethewing.podcast.
Thanks for listening.